And the new wineskins is our heart. Is our heart soft? Are they open? Are they flexible and surrendered to what the Lord wants to pour into us? Well, welcome this morning. It's good to have you guys in the building and for you guys online. Extra warm welcome to you as well. Now, we are currently in this vision series where we've been opening up what we believe as a church family God is calling us to be for the next 5 years. And that is to be more than a church. More than a church, more than a building, more than a program, more than a system, more than people that just come and sit and hear a good sermon. But more than church. A people filled with the Holy Spirit and sent and commissioned to reach a region, to reach a city for the name of Jesus. You see, over the last 24 hours, I spent some time down in Melbourne as part of a conference called Young Disciples. It is a young adults conference, which the heart of it is to raise up a generation that is disciple makers. Not just church attendees, not just people that serve on the worship teams or serve on the tech teams whilst they're all good, or even someone who comes and preaches a sermon, but people that would be sent out and commissioned and filled with the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit to go and preach the gospel, to raise the sick, to cast out demons. Why? Because the kingdom of God has drawn near. Because the kingdom of God is in our midst. And if we don't tell them, who will? If we don't reach this city, we can read the scriptures and see what happens. Desolate cities, broken cities, empires that have risen and fallen, yet which kingdom is still advancing? The kingdom of God. And we have a job to do. We don't do this in our own strength because we have the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. That's the Greek. Dunamis. Where do we get that word from? Dynamic. Dynamite. Power. 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 Power of the Holy Spirit. This is how we operate. We don't do it in our own good gifts or our own good strengths. But if we are going to become more than a church, we need to be a people of God that is raised up, equipped, and sent out, and not just pew sitters, not just conference runners, not just program participants and Easter egg hunters. All good stuff. But if we do not preach the gospel, sorry, Caleb, I'm going to drive you crazy. I'm going to be running across the stage today. If we do not do that, who will? If we in this city do not share the gospel, who will? If we do not raise the sick, who will? If we do not break the demonic strongholds over this city, who will? I want to show you something before we jump in to the scriptures this morning for becoming new wineskins. Matthew 9. Before we jump into speaking about what this new wineskins looks like, I want to show you what this looks like. As I was reading this morning through Matthew 9, Jesus heals a paralytic, calls Matthew, gets questioned about the fasting and the new wine, and we're going to jump into that in a second. But what if this was our story for this city? Matthew 9, 26. Jesus has just come through this city. He has raised a dead, sick girl. What does verse 26 say? News of this spread all throughout the region. The dynamic, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit will not be contained and people will hear about it. They're not always going to understand. We'll see that in a second. The Pharisees didn't understand. But news will spread throughout this city only if we are the hands of feet. Only if we will be more than a church who is not content with running programs, who is not content with preaching a good sermon, but people who are empowered and sent out and equipped, knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit lives inside each and every single one of us, to go and see that region saved. How's that sound? Cool. Looks like I'm on. Anyone else? Good chat. How does that sound? I don't know about you, but I'm not content sitting in a church. I'm not content preaching a good gospel to you who probably already know it. If you want that, I'm not the guy. If you want that in this church, that's not who we're going to be over the next 5 years. Find another one. Sorry, I said it. We want to be a people that is filled with the Holy Spirit, the gifts and the power and the authority that comes from heaven to testify to a city that the news must spread, that the gospel still is advancing, that the kingdom has drawn near, that we are redeemed and set free, and there is a better way in Jesus Christ. And so let's open up this morning in Becoming New Wineskins. We are currently in this series where we are looking at our vision, where we want to become more than a church, but this year we are believing that we want to be new wineskins. What does that look like? What does that mean? How do we allow the Lord to expand us for the mission of God that is for this city, for this hour, for this season? Well, it's got to start in us. It's got to start in us. And so I want to take us to Matthew 9, 14 to 17. It's on the screen behind me. Or if you have a paper Bible, bring that. At the conference, I loved one of the things the preacher said. He said, a Bible that is falling apart is not a person that is falling apart. A Bible that is falling apart is not a person that is falling apart. Now, mine looks a little bit better than it is because it's a generational faith. I stole it from my father. And I've given it a good beating. But can I encourage you, get in this. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the weapons of our warfare that we preach and we teach and we live by. And so Matthew 9, 14 to 17 says, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Interesting passage. But what exactly is happening in this scripture? Well, we're going to zoom out for a second. We're going to zoom out and actually have a look at what Matthew 9 has to say. Start of Matthew 9, Jesus has jumped in a boat, he has crossed over the Sea of Galilee, and he's ended in this town and this city called Capernaum. Jesus has started by raising a paralytic. Just because that's what he does. It's normal Christianity. Power and authority of heaven breaking in, healing bodies, healing minds, redeeming souls. Jesus raises paralytic. How does he do that? Well, he looks at the man and he says, your sins have been forgiven, get up and walk. The kids are waving. Your sins have been forgiven. Get up and walk. Now, Pharisees don't like this. Why? Because in their religious ideology, they could not see Jesus. Were they wrong? No, not specifically. Because it was their understanding that only God was the one to forgive sins. But they were blinded by their religion that they could not see that the Son of God stood before them. And so therefore, he was a heretic. Therefore, he was a blasphemer. They couldn't see him. They didn't like him. They already had tensions with him. It gets worse. He continues on and he calls Matthew the tax collector. Matthew goes, I'm gonna have a party. So let's have a feast. I'm going to bring all my tax collector friends and then Jesus and his disciples. They're having a feast, and the Pharisees look at Jesus and go, why are you feasting with the tax collectors? If you're a teacher of the law, you are righteous and they are not. If you are a teacher of the law, you are righteous and they are not. Hear the black and white? There's no grace. There's no relational. You are righteous, they are not. Jesus turns to him and says, I haven't come for the healthy, but I've come for the sick. I wonder whether the Lord wants to challenge us this morning as to whether we're living behind this veil of religion. That if the Lord called us to hang out with the tax collectors of the day, whether we would be like, no, they don't deserve it. They're too messy. They break how I look. Oh, I can't be seen to hang out with them. If he called us to the prostitutes, to the alcoholics, to the drug addicted, to the broken and the hurting of this city, that's normal Christianity. The Pharisees had a problem because they were religious. They couldn't see past it. And then we enter into this space of Jesus being questioned as to why he is feasting instead of fasting. So, let's go back. Matthew 9:17. It says, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst and the wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. What is Jesus talking about? Well, Jesus is trying to break down the religious traditions and the structures that the Pharisees have built for themselves. They can't see the religion. They can't see past it. They're blinded by it. So, take a breather. I'm coming in hot. We're going to have a look at a photo. Wineskins. Aren't they exciting things? Oh, look at that. How would you love to be carrying one of them around? They're not very appealing. A piece of skin being sewn together and the wine is poured into them. They probably looked a little bit rougher than that. They look quite new, modern. But you can imagine that in the Middle East where Jesus is, these things get pretty dry and pretty brittle pretty quickly. When a skin dries out, like you've been in the sun, what happens? Breaks, it cracks, it peels. It's dry. It's brittle. So what Jesus is trying to show us is that if we're going to pour new wine into new wineskins, they will break. But what is this wine and what is this wineskins? Jesus is talking in parables. So, let's have a look. New wine. This is the gospel of grace. Jesus is bringing a new wine and a new teaching, which is this gospel of grace. It's relational. It is relational. And the new wineskins is our heart. Is our heart soft? Are they open? Are they flexible and surrendered to what the Lord wants to pour into us? Or are they like the Pharisees that are old, rigid, structured, caught in religion, caught in rules, and it's got no room for grace? And so when the new wine of the gospel of grace gets put into these old, rigid hearts, it breaks. Because grace cannot be contained within religion. Grace simply doesn't fit in religion because religion says you're either black or you're white. You're in or you're out. You're righteous or unrighteous by what you do. Grace says I've covered it all. Grace says I see you as a person and I see the disease of sin over your life that I've now cast out. The relational grace places us all on the same standard. Broken, filthy, ragged sinners. Religion says, oh, well, there's the elite, the middle, and the bottom of the barrel. They couldn't see past this. This is why they didn't sit with the tax collectors. This is why they had rules and religions, and they fasted twice a week to make them look good, so that they felt like they were more righteous than those around them. The reality of the new wine of grace being poured in will break our old wineskins. I would even go as far as suggesting that it's often those times that we're stretched, that we're broken, that God is actually helping us to understand this. That God is actually breaking us and tearing us apart, because the new wine that he is pouring in simply cannot be contained in the old traditions and the structures and the religious systems and practices that we live under. Ever sat in church and been like, oh, can't do this thing? Maybe because it's a religious structure that we have sat under. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Church is a beautiful time where we gather the saints, where we equip the body to then be sent out. We tell the stories of God. We equip the believers. And we then commission them back out to the field. This is a hospital space. This is the altar space, the prayer ministry space, the healing space. So that we may go be out in that world, broken and contrite for what God's heart has for this city. So I want to challenge us this morning that if we feel broken, if we feel chained, if we feel stuck in this religious system, that's good. That's normal. Because the new wine that Jesus has poured in this gospel of grace, in this relationship that he wants to carry with us, can't sit within it. He wants to break the old wineskins. But he doesn't want to just break the old wineskins. He wants to give us a new heart. I want to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I want to create in you a new heart. This is the gospel of grace. But he wants the new containers, so that we may take it to a city, that we may take it to a region, and we may see the kingdom come and his will be done. You see, it's the gospel of grace that broke open the tomb. This is the gospel of grace that tore the veil. It's the gospel of grace that saw the tombs of the righteous. We need new hearts, and we need new vessels for this to happen. And so the question lies with us today is, do we actually want to carry this new wine? Do we actually want the gospel of grace to go deep in our lives so that it may overflow out of us to the city, to the region, to the people that do not know Jesus? Or are we going to sit here religiously and righteously and go, I'm happy with a good sermon. I'm happy to sit in my pew and tick the tick box. I'm happy to pray the prayers when I need to. I'm happy to delegate the kids to the kids ministry and tell the kids ministry team it's their job to raise the next generation. Or do we actually want to seek the Father for what he has for us and for this city? So I want to challenge us as to, where is our secret place? Where is that place where the new wine is being poured into us? Where the new wine is breaking us out of our old traditional religious ways? So that we may be carriers of his spirit for this city. I don't know about you, but I look at this question and go, oh yeah, of course I want to carry the new wine. Of course I want to carry the new wine, but what happens when new wine is poured into new hearts? It stretches. It expands the wineskin. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be stretched. You're going to be broken if you're in an old irreligious system. The gospel breaks down religion. And then when it's poured into a new heart that is ready and willing to be surrendered to Jesus, there's an expansive space that then exists in that. who goes, all right, Lord, send me. Use me. Here's my money. Here's my finances. Here's my family. Here's my career. Here's, have it all. Because it's soft, it's malleable, it's surrendered to Jesus. And so the idea of having new wine poured into us is challenging. But are we willing to carry it this year? And so what does it actually look like for us to be carriers of this new wine? Well, it needs to start with our hearts. It needs to start with what we believe. It needs to start with our attitudes and our behaviors. And so one of the prayers that I've had to pray over this previous season is this. It's Psalm 51. It's this beautiful prayer that David prays off the back of adultery to say, God, I'm broken. I'm unrighteous. And so break me, mold me, shape me, create in me a new heart, a pure heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of our salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I want to encourage you to go home and actually read that. Let the Lord speak to you about that as to where the heart posture of your heart is. Can we actually sit before the Lord and actually pray this prayer? Break me, mold me, shape me, create in me a willing spirit to obey you no matter where you call me and what you call me to do. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of this city. And maybe the prayer is, hey, restore the joy of my salvation. Maybe I've lost sight of the good news of Jesus in my life because I've been caught up in these religious traditions and structures that says I have to pray, I have to read my Bible. No, you don't have to do any of it. We get to. We get to walk in relationship with Jesus because the cross of Jesus Christ has opened that access. The veil has been torn. We can walk into the Father's arms as sons and daughters, not as slaves and as bondservants. And if we don't know that, they never will. If we actually want to be more than a church, this is where it's got to start. That the Lord would break in us these cries of the lost. That we wouldn't look at the broken and the destitute and go, oh, they're the unrighteous. They're the filthy. They're the ragged. I can't hang out with them because my personal image is going to be damaged. Who are you? Get over yourself. Create in me a pure heart, God. Cut my legs out if you need to. I believe this is the hour across the globe is the Lord is cleaning shop. And it sucks. But the Lord is trying to bring us back to his heart, back to his mission, back to the commission as we are empowered with the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit to go out to the ends of the earth. But it's got to start with us. It's got to start with the new wine going deep in us, breaking us out of these religious structures and molds. We should be discontent sitting here this morning. We should be discontent that we haven't been in this word. And maybe that discontentment and that shame and the guilt that you're feeling from not being in this, from not feeling like you've been spending time in intimacy with the Lord, should actually lead you to it. Can I tell a story? Over the last 12 months, it's been a crushing season, a crucifying season. I moved up here 12 months ago, left my family, I left my church, I left my region, I left my people. I didn't know where home was. I was in like 5-6 different homes across the last 12 months. I was never settled. I was a restless wanderer. And in my spirit, I was like, You know why it was so hard? Because my secret place didn't exist. I'd sacrificed my secret place on the ministry of altar, the altar of ministry. I'd sacrificed my secret place on the ministry of people. I'd sacrificed the ministry and the secret place. And so the Lord's been convicting me and being like, hey, if we're going to preach, if we're going to teach, we're going to get back in the secret place. Because that's where the power, that's where the authority, that's where the intimacy of the Holy Spirit comes. It doesn't start in a good church service. I can't tell you or change you or do anything. It's only His Spirit that will. And in order for us to be new wineskins, we need to pray these prayers of, Lord, break me, shape me, create in me a clean heart, and lead me back to the place where I, the joy of my salvation is restored. That Jesus is alive, that He's still healing and redeeming and restoring me and my family and my nation and my region. And so I want to challenge us this morning as to what your secret place is. Does it exist? And yeah, there's sacrifices. I have to go to bed earlier so I can get up earlier. And I was at a conference. I got home at like midnight last night and I was like, I can't be bothered getting up. And then the Lord woke me up before 6:30 anyway, and I got up and I was like, oh, I'm so ready to spend time with the Lord. That is the joy of salvation. That is the joy of salvation, that I would, I don't feel like I need to, I don't feel like I have to, but I get to. I get to get up and spend time in the presence of God, of a holy, almighty God, so that He may renew me and restore me and sustain me and, dare I say, correct me. Break me. But if this does not go deep in us, it never will go deep in this region. And so I want to leave us with a few questions to finish. Where is and what is the state of your heart? Is it stuck in religion? Is it stuck in pew sitting? Is it stuck in church attendance? Or is it soft, malleable, and surrendered and found in the presence of Jesus? And what do we actually believe about the gospel? Do we actually believe that this is a transforming power of God that now lives in us through His Spirit? That we may go to the city and we can pray for the sick? We may go to the city and we see the demonic strongholds break? We're on a city on a hill. We're a lamp on a lampstand. If we don't understand that, how are we supposed to reach a region? How are we supposed to be more than a church? I want to challenge you with what I said earlier in the service. A Bible that's falling apart is not a man that is falling apart. Let that challenge us. How broken and torn apart is this thing? How broken and torn apart is our heart? And what do we need to ask the Lord to do us? And am I willing to let go of the religious ways? See, Jesus didn't come to break or fix or patch over religion. He came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill it. You see, the Old Testament was this religious way of coming to the Father. The New Testament is this relational way. And so if you think church or reading my Bible or praying the prayers or serving is going to bring me closer to God, you've lied to yourself. Only the presence of Jesus will do that. And so where is that secret place? If you don't know what the secret place is, it's what Jesus talks about. Go shut your door. Hide in a cupboard. That's the actual literal translation. Go find a cupboard. Jump in the cupboard. Turn it into your prayer closet. Find a walking route round Ballarat. Find a seat. I had to invest into the secret place. I bought a beanbag, a luxurious beanbag. It was like arms and you sit in it. Oh, make the secret place fun. Invest into it. Spend time with Jesus. Who knows what he's going to do in us, let alone this city, as we become more than a church. And so let me pray. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, just for the fact that you have set us free through the gospel of grace. And God, we ask that right now you would continue to just break open our hearts for what breaks yours. Lord God, that you would break us out of religion. You would break us out of habits that are not of you. That, Father, we would experience the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Through the spirit of repentance, Lord God, we ask that you would break things off. You would break off strongholds. You would break off generational lies. You would break off even the unbelief that this thing is not fully true to us. God, would you soften our hearts? And Lord, help us to encounter you afresh. Father, we pray in this hour for the restoration of joy that is our salvation. Not that we chase you for salvation, but we step in as sons, as daughters of the Most High God. And so, Father, would you start with us this morning? Would you start in us what you want to start in this world, in this region, in this city? And Lord God, would you help us to become the new wineskins? Father, would you fill us with the grace of your gospel, that no matter our past, no matter our story, it is covered. And so, Father, we thank you for the spirit of adoption in this place. We thank you that we have been called home. We thank you, Lord God, that you have equipped us and commissioned us to join you in this mission of redemption, of reconciliation. And we ask that you would have your way in this city. You would have your way in this church. You would have your way in our families. And you would have your way in our life. And so, Father, we thank you. And we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. And we continue to join the song of all creation that is your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed today's service. And if you are looking for any resources to continue to connect in, you can find them on the links below or on our website. We'd love to see you in the building sometime at one of our future services. And remember, no matter what happens this week, keep coming back.